Good morning, everybody. What's up, clones? What's up, sclones? Sklar Brothers here, Randy and Jason, coming to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Oh, man, do we have a great show today.
You know, this is supposed to be the dead time for sports.
We have so much to talk about today. First, I want to give you the phone number, 800-636-8686. Call us.
Connor.
No, it's Connor.
Connor?
It's Connor. Okay. C-O-N-N-O-R.
Okay. Connor. All right.
Call in, buddy. We're
email
in
at RomanHaveAtake.com. We'll read your
South
emails.
Cal.
South Cal. We got Adam Hawk with us, Alvin DeLauro, Tom DeCelestino in New York. We are so happy to be here. Full slate. Full slate of stuff. You got the U.S. Open going on right now.
Rory,
of golf.
Rory's already plus 10?
Rory is plus possible? 10. Jordan Spieth is plus 6. Bubba Watson plus 6. Phil Mickelson plus size.
Plus size.
Yeah, plus
he's
size.
He's gone up 2 sizes in his waist.
He was wearing a long sleeve. 4? Mickelson just threw a long sleeve shirt at us. I have no idea what's happening. Here's who we got coming on the show. We got Gar Reines, the batting stance guy, in studio. So you're going to want to turn on the old TV at CBS Sports and check it out.
Yes.
Because he's going to be on at the bottom of this hour. Landon Donovan. And I know the clones are all up in the soccer business.
Hey, it's World Cup. You can't deny World Cup
World
right now.
It's the world sport. It's happening right now. Russia is already beating Saudi Arabia 2-0. And they were beating them 2-0 before the game even started.
It is Russia.
It is Russia. So
yes,
I always question.
They spotted themselves,
they
too.
They spotted themselves, too. That's what happens. Landon Donovan will be here, one of the greatest U.S. soccer players ever, and we'll talk to him at the top of hour two. Brian Scalabrine.
White Mamba.
White Mamba in the house. Oh,
hour
my God.
Two.
Hour two. And, of course, he's the analyst for the Boston Celtics.
We may talk a LeBron Celtics.
You never know. And then, of course, you know, it is baseball season. That is the one major sport right now that is in full swing. So we will talk to our good friend back from ESPN. But he does a great show, MLB Now on the MLB Network, Brian Kenny. Sabermetrically enthused Brian Kenny. So it is going to be a great show. And of course, we've got the takes. Let's make it funny today. That's what today's all about.
Yes. You want my take or what?
Yes, we want your take.
This kid, he's 7. He smokes.
All right. I have been fascinated. You know, there are sports on right now, and there are great things like the U.S. Open and the World Cup and baseball happening right now. But I cannot stop watching the Capitals celebrate.
Specifically Ovechkin.
And we'll just start this thing off here. Because
a man who my son saw his name on the back of his jersey and called him Oven Chicken.
Oven Chicken.
I might just start calling him Oven Chicken.
Alexander Oven Chicken, which could be Lin-Manuel Miranda's next. Alexander Oven Chicken. His name was Alexander Oven Chicken.
This guy is partying so hard.
Well, but it speaks to a larger thing about hockey, because a lot of people, those who love hockey, and we count ourselves in that group, you always loved hockey and you never left hockey. Hockey has always been great. And anybody who's a Blackhawks fan or a Bruins fan or certainly a Penguins fan, like you never left. Okay. But I think the casual sports fan in the 80s, hockey was up there with everything else.
Top four.
Now, I mean, think about Ovechkin, the keg stand on the Stanley
he
Cup.
Did a keg stand in the stands,
which
of the Nationals
I don't know
game.
If I'd do that. You know, the Stanley Cup being passed around.
Remember
like a joint, like a joint at a Snoop Dogg party.
Yeah, remember when
everyone
Chris
takes
Draper?
A yeah. Chris Draper
potty trained his child
on the Stanley Cup,
which is dangerous.
We've talked about this on the show before because we potty train children before. Sometimes you can only do one thing, and that's what the kid does.
So now, if you get your kid used to pooping in the Stanley Cup, then you got a situation where you can only get this kid to go on
championship hardware. So like you got to go, but someone else has the cup. You're like, we got to call Venus Williams and get a Wimbledon plate over here because
my kid hasn't crapped in 2 weeks.
That's right.
So you see this picture right here. You can see it behind us. So Ovechkin being lifted, hoisted into the cup head first. He
partied the way we would party if we won the Stanley Cup. You know what I'm saying? And I think that is the point I want to make.
People were shocked by that, but we say if you understand hockey, you know that this makes total sense.
Yeah.
It's not like he's blowing any endorsements. Name a hockey player
that has any endorsement.
They don't.
You know, I think so much of, again, you see LeBron, he chooses his words very carefully. You know, like you watch
Tom Brady. You're like,
Tom Brady, the Oprah interview. And I love Brady. He's just very careful with what he says, very measured in what he says. He's got a lot of endorsements. You don't want to say the wrong thing. And you think this guy cares about saying the wrong thing or doing the wrong thing? Hockey is a sport that came to us by way of Canada. And to me, Canada right now feels like the United States in the 1970s.
It just feels like there's a lot of rush being played. A
lot of rush.
A couple mayors are doing crack.
Exactly.
It feels like the United States in the 1970s.
So, it was
a time, like, you think back to the 70s when athletes were being interviewed. You even think of, like, MLB, like, Major League Baseball players, like, they would be drinking a beer during the interview.
Definitely someone smoked in a dugout. You know what I mean? Yeah. That happened in the 70s. Billy Martin was smoking all the time in the 70s. Like, he was doing ads for cigarettes.
Right. And so it was a different time. And you feel like now there's something with the NHL players, like they're celebrating. They're leaning into the fact that this is a sport that is unlike any other sport. And when you think about the sport itself, they let fighting happen on the ice.
They're just like, let them
fight it. It's like a parent who's just like,
let him run him out. He'll tire himself out. And then
they'll hit each other. And then
they'll eventually both fall asleep.
Can you imagine if they let players do that in the NBA?
Yeah.
Like someone said, you know, Draymond Green takes a swipe.
If a player takes one step onto the court off the bench, that player is suspended. In hockey, that's just not the way it is. Obviously, we understand that. We're not explaining hockey to you, but we're explaining the culture surrounding it. It's so different. And I feel like there is this everyman celebration. Yeah, of course, Ovechkin at the end of the parade dropped an F-bomb in front of children because he doesn't care. Like, again, look at the Warriors parade. In the Warriors parade, you know, executives are coming up and giving Kevin Durant a ton of grief.
Right. And the biggest
about, like, his contract. Like, that's what they're talking
Draymond
about.
Draymond Green had a shirt that trolled LeBron.
Right.
That was the biggest, like, controversy of the
Warriors.
Meanwhile,
Ovechkin is he will be wasted for the next 6 weeks the way we would be wasted if we won the Stanley Cup.
Ovechkin was in the fountain, like in that fountain outside of Nats Park, the way that drunk woman was in the fountain
at
Kauffman Field.
And they tried to put the cuffs on her and she wiggled out of the cuffs.
Unbelievable.
That's how drunk you are when you can wiggle out of cuffs.
When handcuffs can't stop you.
Ovechkin was wiggle out of cuffs drunk.
Yeah.
And by the way, they hung to the end of that game. Like, all the Capitals were still up in the box at the very end of that Nats game.
You get the feeling that we were so excited for him because you think about his career and you think about how long he's been on that team and couldn't
just
get
think
over
about what
the
a great
Penguins
story home. It was and how much it parallels what's going on just in our world today. The fact that a group of people from D.C. succeeded with the help of Russians.
It's never happened before.
It's just...
But here's what I love the unbridled joy surrounding the 24-hour, like the cup out there. So this is our pitch. 24 hours, NHL channel, 24 hours
cup cam. Cup cam.
Give me the cup cam.
You're going to see stuff maybe you don't want to see, but I'm telling you, and this is not a knock on
what
the NHL.
What else are you going to do in the
offseason? On the NHL Network. In the offseason, what else are you going to do? You're going to replay all the Broad Street Bullies documentary?
No, we've already seen it.
We've seen it.
We got two girls in the Stanley Cup. Let's
two girls
it.
In the Stanley Cup.
Let's get over there. Get on the cup cam.
That would be amazing.
Look, hockey, like us, it's something that we will always love, and it is something that feels like an everyman sport.
Watch a hockey player be interviewed. They're missing teeth.
They don't care.
Party when they win.
They don't care.
It's not like a staged champagne celebration NBA locker room.
You look at the NBA locker room and everything's covered.
Everything's covered. They've got, like, you know, plastic. Hockey players, like, don't cover it. What are you going to ruin? A pair of my Gap jeans? You know what I mean? Like, hockey players just don't have, like, they have the money, but they don't have expensive things that could be ruined by, like, champagne. And it's not even champagne. It's beer in the Stanley Cup.
And look, this is the way we feel like hockey can get back on top.
Like,
and that's what we're saying.
Sidney Crosby, perhaps one of the greatest players ever to play
NHL
hockey.
Was living in Mario Lemieux's house.
Like, he was a kid that wouldn't leave for a while.
Yeah.
He was a great player, and he was living in Mario Lemieux's house.
Basement. Yeah.
which, I mean, living in Mario Lemieux's basement could have been a metaphor for that. Eventually, he had to get out. And didn't they have, like, they had a whole thing in, like, 2015?
They had beef. They had beef, yeah.
At one point in time. It just, you know, again.
This, what it did and the joy that it brought out when we were watching his celebration, to me, is the reason why hockey and the way hockey
can
get
maybe
back,
get back into being that for sport is to
embrace
say,
the everymanness of your sport.
Exactly. It says, all right, look, we are like you. You know, we're the club, because I think there's a certain thing about athletes, and, you know, hockey is played at such a fast pace, and I think it's one of the most difficult sports in the world because it's skating, it's stick handling, and you have a chance to get hit.
And you're drinking.
There's a lot of.
So you got.
I don't know if they're drinking on the ice.
I don't know, but
I don't know if they're drinking on the ice. No, but still.
You just love it. And there is a moment where you say to yourself, this is how hockey gets back.
Right.
This is how we.
And I think the Capitals winning either way. I mean, NHL was ecstatic because the story of Vegas winning would have been incredible.
Right.
But if you're a hockey fan, you want Ovechkin, because now Ovechkin's in the conversation. I look at, like, the goals he scored in the regular season. He had a 65 goal season. He had like 4 or 5 seasons over 50 goals in the season.
He had 25, 26 goals in these playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, he won the Conn Smythe Trophy. He was the MVP of the playoffs, as he should be. Like, this is that moment where you want your superstar to rise up and be your most valuable
player.
So this
is a great, great, great moment for hockey. And
I mean, TJ Oshie's on stage with a beer. Like, that's hockey. And it's not even a good
these
beer.
Guys
it's
are
like
wearing
Bud
Ice. These guys are literally
drinking
it's not
beer.
A Modelo, I'll tell you that much. We'll get to that later.
He's drinking it from the bottle.
I think, like, some of them
can.
Have, like, Mardi Gras beads on. You're nowhere near New Orleans, guys. This is just never allow that to happen. All right, let's take a break.
Yes, I'm down with that.
We'll take a break. First segment down. So much to come, guys. Email us everything.
We're going to get to the diss track later.
The Lonzo Ball diss track.
Kyle Kuzma diss track.
It's the Sklar brothers filling in for Jim Rome on the CBS Sports Radio. Stay with us all 3 hours. We will make you laugh.
Tweet at us, please.
All right, guys, 2018 flying by. We all wanted to continue to elevate our game to the next level and to make this year the best year ever. Well, if you're a contractor, builder, or remodeler, listen up, because elevating your game the rest of the year just got a whole lot easier thanks to our friends at Lumber Liquidators and their new LL Pro Plus program. LL Pro Plus is Lumber Liquidators' new pro services team that you can call for all of your professional flooring needs. LL Pro Plus will help you absolutely crush it this year with professional pricing and dedicated support to get you what you need when you need it so you can get your projects completed on schedule. LL Pro Plus gives you the ultimate value and quality with LL Pro Plus. No job is too large or too small. So put the flooring experts on your team today. Visit your local Lumber Liquidator store or go to lumberliquidators.com. That's lumberliquidators.com. Let's continue to make 2018 the best year ever with Lumber Liquidators. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show. Buy yourself a drink.
Oh, yeah, we're bringing the indie rock. Sklar Brothers here. Men, if you are ready to reduce the gray in your hair, go with the smartest product available, Experience Control GX from Just for Men. The first shampoo with a brain. What makes it so smart, Jay, you ask?
I ask that.
You ask it. It reduces gray the same way it grows it in. Gradually, the more you shampoo with Control GX, the less gray you have. Just use it until you like what you see. How smart is that?
Very smart.
Smart enough to be voted Men's Hair Care Product of the Year. Gradually reduce gray with the first shampoo with a brain. Find Control GX in the shave aisle. And we have a special guest on the phone right now. What timing this is. I can't believe we have him, but then in many ways, I believe that we have him.
Agreed.
The worm can confirm. Perhaps the biggest news story of the week. Did he set up the whole summit in North Korea? Dennis Rodman is on the phone. Mr. Rodman, how are you, sir?
Man, I told you guys, man. I told you, and then I told you again.
You did.
This was going to happen.
Yep.
I knew it. I set it up with my BFF for life, Kim Jong-un.
He's your BFF
he's
for
your
life.
Best friend for life.
For life, yeah. Kim Jong-un. Yeah. Why do you
forever,
like him forever. So much?
He's like, after I die, we will still be best friends.
Okay. Why do you like him so much? Because he's not real.
He kills a lot of people.
Well, I mean, I don't know what he does in his off time.
Off time?
Okay. But what I know is that when I'm there, okay, he treats me so.
Are you getting emotional? Let him cry. Let him
he
cry.
He treats
now.
Me like a brother, man.
Okay.
I know you guys are just there because you're brothers.
Yeah,
okay?
We do.
You
but
guys, I don't know if you'll be up there for life.
Yeah.
Like me and Kim.
Yeah.
But it's a special bond, and you can't break it. It's okay. Like super glue.
Okay. All right. So,
I understand.
I mean, were there any basketball bonds that you could compare your bond to Kim Jong-un? Was there anybody in your playing days? Rick Mahorn?
I can. No. Not Mahorn. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mahorn and Lambia, yes. They got along. Okay. Me and Vinny Johnson. Okay. But there's one man. Okay. One man in my career.
Yeah.
Who reached out his hand across the aisle, literally.
Who was
okay.
it?
We were up in the stands.
Yep.
We were climbing stairs.
Yep.
And, workout. It was Frank Bukowski.
Frank Bukowski. That's your guy.
There's no better man on the planet except Kim Jong-un.
He's not a good guy.
Let me reiterate, he is not a good guy.
Dr. Donald Trump, okay. Mr. Trump will tell you, Trump life, by the way. Okay.
Okay. All
and
right.
Also, Potcoin. Thank you.
I saw your Potcoin shirt.
Yeah.
Is that promoting people getting high and then buying Bitcoin?
Is it a special kind of Bitcoin?
It's a kryptonite currency.
It's a kryptonite currency.
Yeah, and it's basically, you know, it's a sativa strain. Okay, it's like an edible. Okay,
okay.
You can buy things with it. You can eat it. It's all good.
It's like on Everything. Hanukkah where you get the chocolate thing, and
it's like Bitcoin.
I don't know about no Hanukkah. Okay, right. I think Frank might have been Jewish. He never exposed me to that.
Okay,
that's his business.
All right.
But what I did is, let me just tell you something. When I went to Singapore, I was on a mission for world peace,
mm-hmm.
and also to enrich my own self because I'm a businessman. Okay.
Yeah.
I sold products while I was there.
Yeah.
I had these workout trampolines. I bought. They're called trampolines. Singapore people love them. Okay.
You sold trampolines to people in Singapore. Now so I was worried about you. I mean, does Singapore? Nah. Singapore seems a little straight laced for a guy
it's a
like
very
you.
Very strict country.
Yeah, well, no, look, man, it's a hop, skip, and a jump from Thailand, so it's all good.
So its proximity to Thailand means that it's in your universe. And you've been to Thailand a bunch, right? You hang in Thailand.
I love the Thai people. I love to be in Thai. I love to get high while I'm in Thailand.
Okay.
All right. I love to be on the boats. I love to be in the moats.
Uh-huh.
Listen, you guys have to understand something. The third coming of Sun Ra, His Holiness, the Imperial Emperor, the Supreme Leader of the Korean Peninsula.
Okay. Yeah.
The Peninsula. That is Little Kim. He and Donald Trump have just created history.
I don't know if they did, but
that remains to be seen. I'm
a facilitator.
Okay, you are a facilitator.
I'm a rebounder and a facilitator.
You are a rebounder. We're talking, of course, to, I believe, Dennis Rodman.
The Worm.
The Worm, and the Worm can confirm. A man who, you know, chooses to wear shower shoes, would probably wear shower shoes at a funeral. Dennis, what is next for you? I mean, if you've solved this world problem, mm-hmm. I can't believe you're our go-to guy in this region. What is next for Dennis Rodman?
Yeah, here's what's next. I am going to Russia.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, or I sit down with Vladimir Putin.
No. Get out of here. How are you going to orchestrate that?
That feels like
how am I going to orchestrate it?
Yeah.
If I tell you how I'm going to orchestrate that, believe me, you will not breathe. You will not be alive tomorrow. I would have to kill you.
Well, I want to live. I want to live.
Dark stuff, okay? Deep state. Okay?
Deep state.
I will get there.
Sure.
I will take some rummy worms as a token gesture.
Explain to everybody, Dennis Rodman, what rummy worms are.
And I know he likes jelly beans, so he's going to like these rummy worms, rum-filled gummy worms.
Right, okay. That's another like product that you worked on, which I think is terrible because kids could get a hold of them and that would be awful.
Well, we put just enough. You got to have like three or four of them to really get loaded.
Well, I don't think kids should have any rummy worms.
That seems like a bad problem.
You know, listen, man, I'm not here to tell people how to raise their kids. I'm not here to tell anybody how to live their life. I'm just here to say I brought the world peace, okay?
Yeah.
I did it. Success. And I'm going to go back to Redondo Beach.
Yep.
To my storm drain.
Yep.
And just chill out.
Okay. All right,
my man.
Dennis Rodman, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. I cannot believe we got the worm. Peace to you, man, and good luck with everything that you do in the future.
Scar Brothers, the worm is out.
Worm out. Worm out.
And he think he called us the Scar Brothers.
Well, listen, that's the best he could do, and I appreciate that. Wow.
That was a big
that
thing.
May or may not have been Rodman. Let me just say that for the, you know, for the people at CBS who are now like basically running and making news feeds. That may or may not have been him.
Potcoin.
Way to go.
He called
is this Rodman's
a kryptonite currency. Kryptonite.
Is this Rodman's finest hour? I ask you, Jay.
I don't know. I mean, when he was in Singapore, I think it's his finest hour because he didn't get caned. I mean, doesn't that seem like a place where he would commit a crime?
Remember someone in Singapore, like they did graffiti or they spit out some gum and graffiti on the wall and got caned. I think just the amount of graffiti on Dennis Rodman would get him caned just standing there.
Rodman defecated outside of his hotel room in North Korea. That which we've speculated long and hard.
What is in that? Like cocaine, Fruit Loops, no idea.
$1.87 in change. What's in a Rodman poop? We don't know. But what we do know is that it's insane that that guy, I can think of a million other players who I would think, if you told me back in 1996,
yeah,
that one of these Chicago Bulls is going to create the summit
that would allow North Korea.
That will allow the beginnings, perhaps.
Charles Oakley, you would have been like, maybe.
Yeah.
White chocolate.
That's another. Or yeah, not even the Bulls. Just
not
any
a Bulls,
NBA
any player.
I would have put Allen Iverson in front of Rodman.
I mean, he would have practiced that summit.
Yeah.
He would have practiced that summit. He would have maybe shown up for most of the practices practice that summit. But not
practice.
Yeah. I'm not talking about all the practices.
I mean, how silly is that?
It's silly, but it works.
I mean, Rasheed Wallace, I would even think. Ball don't lie.
Ball don't lie. Luke Longley. Luke Longley would have been international. Tony Kukoc would have set up a prostitution ring to make it happen. We don't know.
Pippen would have been mad that he wasn't the first guy to get asked to do it, so then he wouldn't have done it.
There's no way you would have been like, Rodman's the key. Rodman is the key to this whole thing.
No, I don't think anyone would say that Rodman is the key. I think people would say back then, I think people now are like, well, anything's possible.
Let's take a break. Shall we take a break?
Yeah.
Because coming up, Gar Reines, the batting stance guy in studio. So turn on your TVs. Check us out on CBS Sports. If you're listening in your car, you're just going to listen to it. We'll explain it as best as we can. He's one of the best sports impressionists out there.
We're off and running. This is what it's about.
This is how it is. Call us 800-636-8686. We'll have a chance to take your calls in the next hour. Email us at rome@haveatake.com. Great tweet, Jay. Read off a great tweet that we just got in this last segment. If you know how to unlock your phone, Jay.
Amazing start. This is by Den Lesks, @DenLesk. Amazing start to the World Cup. Russia leads Saudi Arabia 27-0, and Putin has 9 hat tricks with 28 minutes left until kickoff.
I do not doubt that at
Fair.
All. We are the Sklar brothers filling in for our good friend Jim Rome, who should be in the Hall of Fame, period.
Vote him in.
On CBS Sports Radio. Let's send it to Andrew Bogut, shall we? The Andrew Bogut of news updates.
Yeah, he's got a great shirt on.
California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest hosts Randy and Jason Sklar on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, bottom of hour one. It is the Sklar brothers back here filling in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio. I just let you know Scott Piercy is in the clubhouse with a 69. When did he go off this morning?
I think at two in the morning.
Yeah. He played in the dark. Around in the dark. He's in it with a 1-under 69, and that may be the best score. That guys are blowing up. Guys are playing the golf course like we would play the golf course.
Yeah, I think Rory's at like plus 12.
He is. But we are so happy because it is baseball season and we have one of our favorite people in studio. Go watch his clip on Letterman, his segment on Letterman.
Dave laugh like a little boy.
And watch all of his videos. He is the batting stance guy, but we know him as Gar Reines. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Rand J.
Thanks for having me.
Dude, it's so good to have you here. And it is baseball season. High time for you to do what you do. Last night, let's just get into it real quickly. Last night, Jay.
Right away, Soto. Juan Soto is... So remember when we had such a huge...
Juan Soto is so young, he is a fetus.
No, 24 days ago, he was 18. And remember we were saying Bryce Harper was like... we were amazed at how young he was and how successful he was. This guy's 19.
Yeah.
2 home runs off the Yankees last night.
Yeah, he was born in late 98. Fellas, what were you doing in October of 1998?
I was in New York.
We were in New York. We were just, I think we were working out at the Chelsea Piers.
I was married with a receding hairline in 1998.
And this kid was just being born.
Being born, and now he's tearing it up in the major leagues.
Two home runs in Yankee Stadium. I mean, that's unbelievable.
Last person to do that was Griffey in his teens to hit a home run in Yankee Stadium.
Unbelievable.
Under that pressure with the Yankees being as good as they are this year, and of course for the Nats, you know, it's like, oh, my God, they have just a ridiculous
Another weapon.
I mean, you got to have someone to balance a loser player like Bryce Harper.
A guy who may make $500 million in his next contract. But I want to see, because we were talking about his batting stance, which is really interesting. I'm curious to say, you say he changes his batting stance when he has two strikes.
So you have a bat here, and for the people who are watching on CBS Sports, you're lucky. Can you show us his batting stance in your eyes?
Of course. So Juan Soto, can you hear me if I
speak up?
We're standing up.
Uh-huh. Juan Soto.
I'm inserting myself as the tallest sklar.
You're the big sklar. All right, great.
And the hairiest.
So Juan Soto has a different stance, much like Votto and Rizzo, with zero strikes or one strike, then with two strikes.
They adjust it.
Yeah. So he'll kind of go down low and call for time.
Yeah.
Then he'll go back up pretty high, and he does the whole I'm going to point my bat downward, even though my hands are up above my head. Uh-huh. Right?
Yeah.
So he'll be up very tall, and then with two strikes, he'll choke up, and he'll get real low and kind of more of a boring what your Little League coach told you to do. Down. But in between each pitch, he is going to clear dust from his eyes.
He's got so much dust
in his show you his top teeth.
Yeah.
Like he's just smelled the foulest smell but can't laugh.
Right.
So he'll make a noise like with his teeth and between each pitch.
Yeah.
And you want to focus in on it because there's no way he knows he does it. In fact, I posted a video and there's your Cardinals, Jose Martinez, basically – now when a player comes up, I can post a video of that player.
And then tag them in it.
Within a day or two.
They come back at you?
Yes.
It's
unbelievable. Who would have known this?
By 20 way, years ago. 15 years ago.
In October of 1998.
When he was born.
When Juan Soto was born.
Right.
How would we know that we would actually get access?
We could not have foreseen it.
And so what happens is Jose will send it to friend Mil Reyes of the Padres, who will then send it. And here's what's so funny. It'll be a bunch of Spanish going back and forth between them. I'll take a picture of it, text it to Beto Duran, and then he'll explain.
Translate what they're saying.
What they're saying. He's like, they love you.
They love you, man.
Jose Martinez, that's another great batting stance.
Well, it's a great one. And you mentioned 10 years in the minor leagues.
I mean, Jose Martinez, I know. He looks like a guy
who's like marching as he's around the plate, right? Is he like in a march? What does he do when he
Yeah, he's got kind of antsy, happy feet, and he sticks his chin as far away from his forehead as he can when he's in the box. And then he'll wildly, in fact, a light's going to go down if I do it. He's going to wildly backswing with only one hand.
Yeah.
While he kind of fidgets.
Yeah, like marches
like
into
place.
Like
he's waiting on the end of the pier for a bathroom that there's a line.
Yeah,
so he's just kind of like, I got to get in there. I got to get in there.
Yeah.
And then there's a lot of foot movement. Mm-hmm. And then he will basically do almost like a poor man's Gary Sheffield bat wag.
Yeah, yeah.
Or Gary Matthews.
Sarge. That's going deeper.
You always put 1983.
The Sarge would do the bat wag and then the swivel. He had the swivel along with the bat
wag. And he had a bat dismount where he would hit the catcher in the wrist when he would get rid of it. Jump it like it's hot.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Who's your favorite player right now as you're watching the stance that for you
signifies something a lot of
things? This is a great new signature stance. It's got to be from a player who is significant.
For years it was Kevin Euclid.
Yeah.
Now who's the new Euclid?
So on the field, it's Hunter Pence. So if I'm on the field, players...
That's the one they want to see.
That's the one they want
to
see.
He looks like he is about to skin a goat with his bare hands at all times.
He's like naked and afraid, but with a uniform on.
He looks like Daniel Stern as one of the wet bandits in Home Alone. If Daniel Stern wasn't allowed to blink.
Yeah. So Hunter Pence, eyes wide open.
Eyes wide
neck
open.
Neck just...
Neck protruding.
Right, shoulders down.
Yeah. Still has too many muscles to know what to do with. So the way that his back arches,
yeah.
but the muscles, it's like he's not totally comfortable with how strong he is. And
right.
so his practice swing will have a glitch as if there's something wrong with the video camera that you're watching.
Right.
So he'll start the swing and then all of a sudden be over here. And you can't see like, the actual.
How did he get from there to there?
Yeah. So there's a real glitch. And then he's the rare one batting glove on, one batting glove off.
Right. Is like, that a rare thing now? It's either two batting gloves. Yeah, who is no batting gloves? Is there anyone who's a no batting glove guy?
There's a couple and they're all strong and cool and
big
tough.
Big dudes. Right. Yeah. Like Evan Gattis.
The smallest guy is Will Myers. That's how many people have. Matt Carpenter. And they all will grab dirt.
Yeah.
Like back in the day, the Frank Robinson of the world.
Yeah, just grab the dirt.
Tim McCarver.
Hunter Pence then.
So Hunter Pence then will get a really wide, open stance. Mm-hmm. He's the only person who's... stirrup socks go above his knee.
Yeah, they go way up to the mid thigh.
Like, essentially just wearing shorts.
He has shorts.
He's doing the Chicago White Sox 1979 shorts experiment, but with
daily
modern day uniform.
He's a modern day Ralph Garr.
Okay.
And then he'll put the bat on his
shoulder.
Right shoulder. And then his follow through in the box will be a little wide.
Uh-huh.
Like he's just learning how to play.
Yeah.
And then he'll bob upwards. Backwards and forwards like this. So he'll go back
just
and forth.
Trying to avoid some sort of a bug. Then take a huge step.
Yeah. Matt Holliday-esque knee raise up to here.
Uh-huh. Like he's pitching.
And then when he hits, when he sprints like Keith Byers, he'll keep his hands below his waist.
A football reference.
Keith Byers.
At no point does his hands go above his waist.
Like a Mookie Blaylock 3. Right. It starts low.
From his knee.
And finishes low. Well,
we mentioned Evan Gattis. That's a guy.
Evan Gattis to me feels like a guy. And he hit two dongers last night in Oakland, which, by the way, I think there were six people at that game.
Yes.
And
one of them was Evan Gattis.
There were more guys in the dugout than there were in the stands. And by the way, great stadium design where you have in left field just a giant concrete staircase that no one can sit on in left field. But Evan Gattis hit two home runs, but he looks like a guy who doesn't have a bat. But they're like, do you have a bat? And he just goes out and rips out a telephone pole and swings that around.
He absolutely does. So I love Evan Gattis. So his story is completely bonkers.
Yeah.
It has the remnants of the Josh Hamilton story.
Yeah. Right.
So he's like a highly recruited high schooler. Yeah. He's in Texas. Obviously, he's a big, muscular
giant
guy.
Dude.
Then I guess he goes to college, like a Texas A&M or a Texas Tech, like a good program, and then just kind of vanishes. And so he wanders maybe for 3 years. I think I already got over 300 pounds. He was a... he was a custodian. He was in
the World's Strongest Man competition.
He
beat Magnus from Magnuson.
He worked, not a ski instructor, but he worked in like a ski lift. And then he was a janitor like in Santa Cruz. And then he was homeless.
That's not funny.
Delivery.
That's crazy.
His Twitter avatar was his custodian ID card. It looks like a different guy, kind of disheveled hair. And then I guess he goes back.
I can't imagine him disheveled.
Not at all. So then he goes,
is he a hoarder? I don't know.
I guess he goes back to his brother who's playing junior college baseball somewhere in Texas. And then I think he takes some batting practice and the coach is like, who's that?
Who's that guy?
Who's that guy who keeps hitting all of our cars?
Who is that guy? And then little by little, he kind of worked his way back up. All of a sudden, he's on the Braves, hit home runs. He gets, I think, either traded or signed with the Astros. And so... he had contacted me through social media, but he's not verified. So I was like, there's a chance this
isn't Evan Gattis.
There's like a 61-year-old woman in Rancho Cucamonga that's like, my name's Evan Gattis, and I love your imitation of me. Thanks for telling my story.
More like a 9-year-old boy.
So then I'm going to bring my kids down on the field against the Astros, against the Angels a year or two ago. And then I direct message him and say, hey, I'd love to meet you. I'm going to be down on the field. And he says, no problem. I'll look for you. Thanks so much for... doing videos of me. So then when I go down on the field, I think there is like a 50-50 chance it's not him.
It's not him, right.
And so I walk down on the field, lo and behold, stretching circle. He smiles,
gives me the thumbs up,
and he's like, hold on, I'll be right over there.
Amazing.
So I was like, oh my gosh, that's really him. So then he walks over, he shakes my hand, and I don't know if you've shaken anyone's hand where you felt like you were 8 years old and a lot less strong than the person.
His hand must have gone to your forearm.
It crushed.
Troy Aikman had a hand that like went all the way up to my elbow. I was like, Jesus, what?
So he crushes my hand, and I'm not allowed to swear here. So he said, "Hey, I just want you to know I love the videos that you shot of me, and when you told my story and whatnot, and I knew when you did a video of me that I bleeping made it."
He made it because of you. Well, the fact that we mentioned Soto earlier, he tweeted at you, did he not?
Yeah. So Soto and a lot of the players, basically in the last couple of years, whenever I've done a video of a player, more often than not, the player will either comment or direct message. It's unbelievable.
He's 19. He was just 18. I mean, the guy knows
social media.
He knows social media. You got to understand that probably these kids know everything about social media. That's
Evan Gaddis, meanwhile, still not verified.
Evan Gaddis tried to contact you on Friendster. And he couldn't do it. Well, I love Grab the Bat because I love we were joking about, you don't have to stand up, but I love that we were joking about the choking up of, the choking.
Joey Votto
choked up so much. How far did he choke up if he was...
Placido Polanco was the first person, according to Deadspin, that ever choked up all the way.
And hit.
And so, basically, Votto has become the first person since Placido Polanco to choke up completely
that far,
all the way.
More
and
bat below your
here's,
hands.
Here's
than
what's
above.
Crazy about choking up. Who has the most home runs in history?
Hank Aaron. Well, I mean, who do you want to say?
Barry Bonds.
Barry Bonds. Who has the most base hits in history?
Pete Rose.
So the two people with the most homers and hits
choked up
like Felix Mian. I mean, they choked up so much.
Yeah.
Why doesn't everyone choke up?
That's a good point. But you choke up because it gives you more control and you can actually get the bat around quicker.
Yeah.
I watched an unbelievable segment about, I wonder how much of this is with these guys on MLBNet, about guys just swinging through the knowing what their swing path is. This is where my swing path is. Joey Votto, maybe, Bruce goes like down low and swings it way up high. Yeah. And he's like, if any ball is in that path, I'm going to hit it out there at that thing. But some people swing level across. It's just understanding your swing path. So then choke up and know your swing path.
So 10 years ago, Sony PlayStation had me be the motion capture for MLB The Show.
No way.
Yeah. And so when I was doing the stances, the guy said, hey, stop right there. You don't have to do the whole swing. Just stop right at the zone because as we've figured out the swing lines, basically no matter what the stance, no matter what the follow through, one hand, two hand, basically everyone comes through the zone pretty much the same.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That's amazing. Insane.
So even though you think Adam Kennedy or Jim Edmonds are doing some wild actually going through the zone.
They actually swing
it,
level it out.
It's coming through pretty similar.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. How about Matt Carpenter? I love his a lot of guys, and this is why I think you're so great, is because not only do you capture the swing itself, but you capture the
pre-swing routine. It's like he's trying to strangle the bat.
And then he's leaning backwards and forwards, and his tongue is coming out of his mouth.
He is licking his lips, but kind of slithering it out there.
Yeah. Right.
And then he'll choke up a lot on his practice swing. It's a goofy.
Yeah. Like, right. He squeezes it super hard, like he's squeezing the life out of his bat.
And then he'll kind of follow through and stay where you finish your follow through. Uh-huh. And then when he comes back and leans back and licks his lips, it's...
And then he's like leaning forward and back like he can't find the position to be
in.
What
I love about Carpenter and Paul Goldschmidt is these are two guys that are awesome and never appeared on any of the top 100 prospects at any level. Mm-hmm. I did an event at Visalia years ago, and it's a low... It's kind of the lowest of all the... levels, mm-hmm. and he had like 40 homers there that year because everyone's like, yeah, but he's not a prospect, so we got to keep him here. Like anyone, if this was a number one prospect and he had
eight homers, like, move him up,
get
he's
him
doing
up,
great,
get
yeah,
him up,
get him up.
But Carpenter, it's like it was like why 22 teams, including the Angels, passed on Mike Trout because they're like, no outfielder comes from New Jersey. That's not a thing.
Right.
We don't. Nobody does that. His parents would have moved him to Marietta, if they were really serious about being a first rounder.
Right,
somewhere else.
All right, last dance I want you to do before we get out of here is I want you to do the new guy on the guy that everyone's kind of talking about on the Tigers.
You got 1 minute to do it.
So I got a shout out. I have a couple of henchmen that are around town. And so Tyler Kepner, lead baseball writer for the New York Times, he basically texts me from an undisclosed location in spring training and says, I've got your new.
This is the guy. Yeah. All right, so 30
Tigers. Seconds. You got 30
Ronnie
seconds.
Rodriguez. Give it
to us. Ronnie Rodriguez.
All right. He stands up. He has the Demolition Man.
Yeah, haircut.
Wesley Snipes do.
Sure.
Then
he hasn't paid his taxes, just like Snipes.
He will put his, he's a right-hand batter. He'll put his left arm like a pitcher. He'll put it around his head. He'll wind it around his head. He'll get the bat as high up as it'll possibly go, and he wiggles it up top while he sticks his booty higher and further away.
He looks like a cartoon rabbit when you show it to me.
He looks like a cartoon rabbit. And then he'll put the bat down, and then he'll load up like Josh Donaldson and swing away. Ronnie Rodriguez of the Detroit Tigers, number 60.
Check it out.
I want you to win MVPs.
You knocked it out of the park, Guy Renis.
All right, we'll be back. You guys, hour one in the books. Stay with us. Sklar Brothers filling in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio. Thank you, Guy Renis at Batting Stance Guy. Boom.